This is Digital Story Podcast number 551, September 27th, 2016. Today's theme is Firmware Fantastic. I'm Derek Story. Aside from pure immediacy, my favorite aspects of the digital age are firmware and software updates. I think about this because I've just reinvigorated my laptop, iPhone, iPad, and the DxO1 camera. And what a difference! But sometimes we're hesitant or don't have time for these maintenance tasks. And that's the subject of this week's show. So I know many folks that hold off on OS and firmware updates because they're concerned about instability, compatibility, you know, those sort of things. In other words, disrupting their daily lives. And I can understand that. And I would say that these days, more what I'm seeing is the compatibility issue, and that's from third-party software just not getting their updates out in a timely manner. And I'm seeing that with Mac OS Sierra. There have been a few updates that I'm going, where are they? I mean, I've been working with the beta version of the software that seems very much like the final version of the software for a couple months, and you don't have your updates ready yet? So that's a legitimate thing. But on the other hand, procrastinating too long sometimes leads to not doing it at all. And I think in those cases, you'll miss out. You miss out on some good stuff. And I'm going to give you five examples today of updates that I've recently done that I think are fantastic. I really wanted to say, by the way, for this title for this podcast, is Firmware Fantastico. But I'm Californian, and I was afraid that, you know, a lot of people just wouldn't relate. So I stuck with Firmware Fantastic. Anyway, okay, let's get into some of these actual updates right now. I'm going to start out with Mac OS Sierra. It's what I led in with. And I'm pretty darn impressed with it, I have to say. It's not earth-shattering. It hasn't turned my world upside down for good or for bad. But boy, does it get the job done. And I've been using it for a couple months now in the public beta program and then on my computer. And I don't have a brand new computer. I have a mid-2014 MacBook Pro. And then I have, let me see here. I'm recording right now. And then this computer that I'm recording on, which I updated because I use it for my lynda.com titles. So it has to be updated because I'm recording the new Photos for Mac OS title. It's a mid-2012 and it's another MacBook Pro. This is a 15-inch and the one I carry around is a 13-inch. So a 2012 and a 2014 laptop with the new OS, and they run absolutely fine. And I'm sure there'll be a few little things that get smoothed out over time. There always are, but I'm not noticing any disruption to my workflow. Now, the one thing that I have had some issues with is third-party software, and mainly relating to my photo software, and I'm gonna get to that at number five. So we'll save that for now. So first of all, big thumbs up on Mac OS Sierra. It's fun having Siri right here on my computer. I really like it. I like some of the interface improvements they've made. I just, in general, like the overall OS. I just think it's terrific. And it just makes me feel like my computer runs that much better. And let's move into iOS 10, since we're talking about OSs. Now, this one to me is more radical than Sierra in that they did some bigger interface changes, and the lock screen being the one that all of us are trying to get used to. The complaint was, I have an iPhone 6S that I really like. And the complaint was that the Touch ID worked too well in the 6S. In other words, sometimes you just want to see your notifications and it would unlock the phone and take you to the home screen. And I just wanted to see my notifications. So I used to do all sorts of weird things like, use a off finger, a finger that wasn't touch ID'd, you know, to hit the home button, stuff like that. So they address that issue in iOS 10, and then I had to get used to it. And what they've done now is there's no more slide to open. So you put your finger on it, touch ID, then the little unlock happens at the top of the screen. You can see it. And then you just go ahead and press the home button if you want to go ahead and go to the home screen. And it's very simple. It's very easy. And it's amazing that it took me like 2 or 3 days to get used to it, but it did. And that just tells you how old habits die hard sometimes. Getting beyond that, however, the new iOS is really nice. I just feel like it has invigorated my device. I put it on an iPhone 5S and I put it on an iPhone 6S. And I was wondering, how's it going to run on the 5S? And it runs great. It absolutely runs great. My 5S is very perky. And so I'm not having any problems at all with it. Now, here's a trick that I do. And this is like a trick on me, but sometimes those are the best tricks. So I've decided not to upgrade to the iPhone 7. And I wrote about it in the Nimble Photographer Journal. Those of you that read the journal know about it. And the reason why is I want the new camera, but it's on the Plus, you know, the one with the two cameras. And then everything else is sort of a downside. The headphone jack is a downside for me. I have all sorts of stuff I plug in there. The finances are a downside for me. You know, I've got a reasonable payment right now for my 6S, and it'll be paid off in a few months. And if I start all over again with the 7 Plus, my payments are going to be larger, and then I'm looking at another couple of years. So there's all sorts of stuff there, and I just decided, hey, look, my iPhone 6S takes great pictures. It really does. And if I need more picture power than my iPhone 6S, it's not like a shortage of cameras around here. You know what I mean? And I usually have another 1, 2, 3 cameras with me. So the iPhone, I love shooting with it. I take a lot of pictures with it, but it's not my only camera. It doesn't have to do everything. I don't need to have bokeh with my iPhone. I have other cameras that will provide that for me. So I decided finally, took me a while, took me a couple days. I decided finally to pass on the iPhone 7. Okay, that's cool. But now, you know, now I'm going, well, but I've had my 6, you know, for years, the same old, same old. So here's my trick. This is all just backgrounds. You know, colorful text, you know, to lead you to the real point. And the real point is, what I did was with my iPhone 6S is I upgraded to iOS 10 on the inside, and then I bought a new case, a really cool case for the outside. And again, I wrote about the case and all that in the Nimble Photographer Journal. So if you want to know the details and you want the link and all that stuff, it's all there. And it feels like a new phone. iOS on the inside, new case on the outside, really cool new case on the outside. And I feel like I have a new phone. And then now I don't care about the iPhone 7. I honestly don't. But I had to do that little trick. And it's a trick that I like doing. I've never shared this one before. I don't know why, because it's one of my faves. But when it comes time and you're not ready to, you know, make a new investment in the latest iPhone, upgrade the iOS, because the iOS always comes out the same time as the phone. Upgrade the iOS. Get yourself a really slick new case, and then believe me, you will feel like you have a new phone. And in a sense, it really is. iOS 10, that's another example of my one-year-old device, the iPhone 6S, now suddenly feeling like a new device because of a free software upgrade. Next one, the DxO1 firmware update, and the one that I'm using right now is 2.0.3. Again, same camera, firmware update. And they've been doing really nice job with their firmware updates. The camera that I have now, and in case you don't know about the DxO1, it is that camera that has a 1-inch sensor, nice big sensor, 1-inch sensor, high quality lens, and then it plugs into the iPhone or the iPad via the Lightning port. And that's the way you had to use it before. So the iPhone then becomes, you know, your viewfinder and where you do the menu settings and everything. And the camera just, you know, is attached to it. And you can rotate the screen and do all sorts of stuff. And the pictures with it are fantastic, especially if you process them with the DxO software, which there just happens to be an editing extension in Photos for macOS. So, I mean, the whole ecosystem is really nicely developed here. But at any rate, so this camera has been evolving nicely. One of the things about it was, though, that it always had to be plugged into the iPhone. So on an earlier firmware update, what they did was they took that little itty-bitty tiny LCD screen that's on the back of the DxO1, and they made it a viewfinder. Just, it's a black and white viewfinder. I mean, really, it's like either black or white. But you can literally line up the shot using it. And I thought that was cool. That was very nice. That made it easier to shoot without the iPhone, because sometimes you just want to pull out the camera. It's very small. So I pull out the camera, take pictures, and put it back. You don't want to connect it to the iPhone and do all that stuff. Now what they've done with this latest update is that it has Wi-Fi built in, and it can communicate with your iPhone via Wi-Fi. And so what you do, and it's pretty slick. So you have the camera connected to the iPhone. You go into the menu, and you say, I want to use it via Wi-Fi. The iPhone passes the network information for the whatever Wi-Fi network you're using at the moment over to the camera. Once the camera has it, you can pull the camera off, you can place it on a tripod, you can do anything that you want, hold it over your head, all that stuff, and still control it with the iPhone. When you're done using it this way, then all you do is take the camera and you plug it back into the iPhone via the Lightning port, and then the Wi-Fi connection is cut off and is back to the normal way that you use it. Very slick, very easy to use. Now, currently you have to have another Wi-Fi network. What they're working on, and I guess what they had working, and then Apple kind of threw them a curve with iOS 10. What they'll have soon is that it can also set up its own access point. The iPhone will be its own access point. So you won't need to connect to another network. You could be out in the middle of nowhere and the two can communicate via Wi-Fi and, you know, that direct connection. We'll see in an update up the road. So I just, again, thought, wow, this just feels like a new device. And especially compared to how it was when I first started using it, which was a number of firmware updates ago. So now I can take the DxO with me. It doesn't take up any room at all. It's just this little guy. And if I want, I can use it on the iPhone. I can use it on the iPad. I can use it independently via the little screen, or I can use it via Wi-Fi. And it takes great pictures, and then I can get the most out of the pictures using the DxO1 software for photos for macOS. So, haven't spent a penny more, yet I have a completely different camera now than a year ago. Firmware updates. Again, fantastico. I really need to stop saying that. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yes, they are. All right. Lightroom Mobile 2.5.1. Here's another thing that really makes my iPhone 6S feel very modern. What I can do running iOS 10 on my iPhone 6S is use Lightroom Mobile 2.5.1 and then choose to shoot in RAW with that software. Because Lightroom Mobile has its own camera, I can choose to shoot with DNG. They use DNG, of course. And I have done a whole article on this. I've tested it, the whole deal, and it is great. It is a RAW file. You capture a RAW file with your iPhone, and then it goes into Lightroom. You can edit it on the mobile device with all those great editing tools they have, and their editing tools on the mobile device. If you haven't looked at them, they are really good editing tools. And then, of course, you have to have Creative Cloud for this all to work, this connectivity thing. That image just shows up on your laptop, on your Mac or your Windows machine with the edits, with the sliders moved as you move them on your mobile device, and you can continue editing, or you can share it, or you can do whatever you want. And it's passed over as a RAW file to your computer. So it's literally RAW photography with your iPhone. Now, of course, Android has RAW photography also, and I think that RAW photography for Android via Lightroom came before iOS. So Android users, I believe, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, I believe have been doing it a little bit longer than iOS users. So both Android and iOS can shoot RAW with your smartphone. Now, this is not something that I would do all the time. I don't need to do it all the time. I don't need a RAW picture of my lunch, okay? I don't. But, you know, there are moments, and I had one of those moments when I was in Maui just recently. The iPhone was the only thing I had with me. There was this fantastic moment out on the beach. I took the shot. It's actually the most popular shot that I took on the Maui trip, and I used a couple different cameras and all that stuff. The iPhone shot was the most popular shot, and that's because I had it with me when the shot presented itself. And I just went ahead and shot it regularly. If I had updated to iOS 10, I don't think it was quite ready yet, but if I had updated to iOS 10, this fantastic shot I took could have been captured in RAW, which means I could have gotten even more out of it. Now, it still looks fine. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm saying those are the situations where you go, this is a wonderful shot right in front of me. All I have is my iPhone. I'm capturing this baby in RAW, and then we'll figure it all out later. And those are the instances where I think this is great. So again, hats off to Adobe on this. They have just made it so easy to do this. And I tell you, this connectivity, this Lightroom Mobile via Creative Cloud to my laptop and all that goes with it, that for me alone has been worth my Creative Cloud subscription, not to mention I get Photoshop and Lightroom as part of the deal. Next one, and last one up, Photos 2.0. Now, I know Photos is part of macOS Sierra, and I know you know that I know that, but I wanted to talk about it separately because I really think it deserves its own conversation. Again, free update. Doesn't cost us anything. We already have the Mac, we upgrade the OS, and we get this Photos 2.0. Now, there's all sorts of cool things in it. And, little things like there's a new slider in adjustments called Brilliance, which is just wonderful. I just think it's the coolest thing. So there's all sorts of things like that. There's, of course, Memories, which you've heard about, that uses artificial intelligence to build memories based on the information in your photos library. And they have this one little thing, and I just put a sidebar about it in the new book when I was updating the Apple Photos book for photographers, because it only needs a sidebar in terms of length, but it's so powerful. And I wanted people to see it, so I thought if I put it as a sidebar, people would really, it would jump out at them and they would try it. It's called Object Recognition. Everyone's been complaining, not everyone, but let's say a whole lot of people have been complaining about no star ratings, no color labels, all that stuff in photos. And I can tell you right now, you ain't going to see it. It ain't going to happen. And I can also tell you, you're not going to need it. Because, for instance, the thing about object recognition is now in the search box, I can type bike, just bike, and it will pull up a whole bunch of pictures in my photos library of bicycles. They weren't keyworded. There was no keyword bike. Bike was not in the description. They weren't marked as, you know, a favorite, nothing. It just found them and it gave them to me. And I did all sorts of things. I did ocean, I did bike. You know, it works with kind of, you know, generic things like that. You know, you can't go a yellow rose on a table in a church. It probably will, you know, kind of hiccup on that. But if you just go with, you know, real, you know, bike, car, I did cars, ocean, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. It works so cool. And I was just thinking, I didn't have to do a thing. I didn't have to do any keywording. I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was type bike in the search box, and all those shots came up. And this is the direction that this application is going. It is going towards artificial intelligence, towards smartness. Smartness that you don't have to do anything about. You just have to take the picture and get them into your library. And if you're shooting with an iPhone, that's just going to happen automatically if you use iCloud, right? So just get the darn things in there and it'll take it from there. I am very impressed with Photos 2.0. I think it's a real sleeper, and I think a lot of people are really missing the beauty of this application. And I realize that I had to learn about it because I'm writing a book and I'm doing a new Lynda training. I'm recording a new Lynda training right now here at the studio. I realized I had to, so I had the benefit of having to learn about it. But you listen to me, right, on via this podcast, so it's not like you don't know that this is cool. You've heard it here, and if you're a Mac user and you have Photos running on your computer, take a look at the new 2.0, play with it. I tell you, there's a lot of stuff under the hood there. So anyway, would I hold off on updating to any of these? No, I would not. And I know that I'm still waiting for some compatibility things happening. The one place where I feel like I'm paying a price for all of my updating is with some of my editing extensions. Some of them have not been updated yet. And as of last time I checked, which is a couple days ago, my On1 stuff was not working yet. I just got a notice that the new HDR Pro from Mac Fun has been updated. It's supposedly working now, but it hadn't been working. And so I'm gonna test it. I have it on the computer now. I just haven't been able to get to it yet. So a few of my, you know, really favorite editing extensions were lagging behind a bit. And that has been the only price that I've paid. Now, I will say that most of them did work, and I just kept going. I used them. Other than that, I don't feel like I've paid a penalty for upgrading and, you know, getting going with the new stuff. And I literally feel like I have a new iPhone. My iPad Mini 2 running iOS 10, this is like brand new. And I got a case for it too. I did. So I got a new case for it, put iOS 10 on it. It is just like, it feels like a whole new thing. So this is fun stuff. I just wanted to put a bug in your ear. You know, there's firmware updates for our cameras, the Olympus cameras. You know, they do a great job with firmware updates. Fuji does a great job with firmware updates, all this sort of stuff. I encourage you to stay on top of this and keep your stuff running. I just think that you'll be happier with the existing gear. You might not feel the need to have to go out and buy hardware quite as often, which I think is a good thing. And just in general, it's just a sane way to go. You know, we're in such a disposable age right now where I just feel like we discard stuff too quickly. Maybe that's part of the reason why I started the analog camera store, the film camera shop on Etsy, to fix these SLRs and, or just, you know, clean them up a little bit and then get them back out there and working. I just feel like that it's neat to use stuff that already exists instead of throwing it away and buying something new. One of the big things that I think is a plus in the digital age is our ability to update existing hardware through software so we can keep using it. And that's why I'm excited. Drobo Diaries. All right, we're back. We're back. So I did this week probably what a lot of you have been waiting for, which is a copy, a speed test copy between the Drobo 5D and the 5DT. I have them both. So since I've been on the road and shooting a lot, I had some Capture One catalogs that needed to be backed up. I had 98.53 gigabytes of new pictures to be backed up. So I thought, this is perfect. So I plugged both the 5D and the 5DT into my MacBook Pro 13-inch. Has two Thunderbolt ports. I used the Thunderbolt cables that came with each Drobo, just stuck with the original stuff. And then I did a Finder copy. I didn't use Hedge or anything. I just worked with the Finder, just do this bare bones test so we can compare apples to apples. So here's the way that it worked out. When I did a 98 gigabyte copy with the Drobo 5D, It took 12 minutes and 45 seconds. And I use a stopwatch. Well, I use my iPhone, the stopwatch on my iPhone. And then when I did the same file copy, because I wanted to back them up to both devices, to my Drobo 5DT, it was 9 minutes and 49 seconds. So that was a bigger difference, actually, than I expected. 12 minutes and 45 seconds versus 9 minutes and 49 seconds between the two devices. Everything else being equal, you know, the 5DT actually is faster on Finder copies. And that's without doing any enhancement at all. Both of them have chips in them, you know, the little RAM chips that go in the bottom. Both of them have comparable hard drives. I mean, everything is pretty even, Steven, on this. The only thing that's really different are the enclosures. So I would say one of the benefits that you get from the 5DT is definitely faster Finder copy. And in this case, for practically 100 gigabytes, it was a 3-minute difference. Now, what I'm going to do next week is that I'm actually going to run one of those Capture One catalogs off the Drobo, plugged into my Mac, and see how it performs. Stay tuned for that one, the Drobo Diaries, where I'm testing a brand new Drobo 5DT. Pretty nice little machine there. In the news, and this is an article that I read on Petapixel, and I'm going to have to spell the name of the app because I don't know how to say it. It's the, and the way, and the spelling of the app is F-O-T-R. It's like missing to me, it's missing a vowel there. And I don't want to say fotter or fotter. So I don't know what it is. But anyway, the name of the app is F-O-T-R. But anyway, oh God, what a mess, right? All right, I'm going to move on anyway, because that's what I do. Forces you to shoot film with your iPhone, prints every frame. So let me just read you the copy here from Petapixel. FOTR is as close to film photography as you're likely to get out of your iPhone. The new iOS app acts just like a film camera. You have to buy digital film, and every single photo you take with that roll is printed, even the crappy ones. Once you've downloaded the app, you'll have to buy a roll of film. There are both color and black and white film stocks available, and each one mimics a well-known film like Kodak Tri-X, Fujifilm Velvia, and so forth. Once bought, you've got that many exposures to shoot, each of which will be printed and shipped to your door within 10 days, no do-overs. Like regular film, you have to pay to play here. The app itself is free, but each set of prints will cost you 24 and 36 frame rolls of black and white film. Printed 4x6 will cost $17 and $23 respectively. Those prices include all tax, packaging, and shipping. So that's not too bad, really, in terms of pricing. Right now, for 36 exposure film that I have processed and scanned, no prints, it's running me about $15 a roll. And then I usually pay around $5 or $6 for a roll of film. So this is actually maybe just a hair cheaper than what I have. Now, here's the thing that I don't know. Since you captured it with the iPhone, do you ever get the digital shots, or does it always just show up as prints? You know, that's sort of an interesting thing. So I'm intrigued by this. This is not something that I'm recommending. This is something that I'm curious about and thought you might like to hear about it. It's called FOTR. And if you don't want to buy a film camera from the film camera shop and, you know, shoot 35 millimeter film and have fun with that, but you still kind of want the experience in an iPhone sort of way, this is something to consider, something to look at. And if any of you do try it and you have a mini review, or you just have an opinion about it, send it to me, please, because I'd like to know. All right, just a few things here to wrap up. I just want to remind you to follow us on Apple News for iOS devices. The Digital Story, The Nimble Photographer, and The Analog Story are all available on Apple News for iOS devices. I have the links in the show notes. So you just click on those links with your iOS device. It'll take you over to those respective news feeds, and then you just mark them as a favorite, and then you have them. And then they'll show up when I publish something new. They'll show up both in what Apple News puts together for you, and then you always have your favorites there in a separate screen that you can go to individually. This is a lot of fun, and I've noticed that the numbers on all three are growing in terms of people viewing. So I think this is a great way to consume articles and posts, and I'm happy to be there. By the way, the news app is one of those apps that got a really nice facelift with iOS 10. If you haven't looked at it lately and you have iOS 10, you should take a look. It is sharp. All right, just a couple updates. First of all, big thanks to our Patreon supporters. Those in the inner circle, we have some new ones this week. Welcome aboard. Thank you so much. I'll tell you, this is one area that I feel really good about. You know, I'm into this whole notion of independent publishing, of being able to just say what I want, not have a boss editor, not be working for a company that has interests, not any of that sort of stuff, just to be totally independent. Those of you that are supporting this show and The Analog Story and The Nimble Photographer through Patreon are making that happen. And I just want to say thanks a whole bunch. And if you're curious about how this all works, there's a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story, Patreon tile. Just click on it, take you right over to the page that we have on Patreon. Also, we have B&H and Amazon tiles on The Digital Story. They're in that second column there. If you're going to do a little shopping on either of those sites, go there first. Go there first. Just click on it. Click on Amazon or click on B&H. It'll take you over to the site. Then you search to find what you want. Your purchases will help support the site, and it won't cost you a penny more. And finally, a big thanks to our friends over at Red River Paper, the friendliest and I am not exaggerating, and some of the nicest people that you ever meet in the world of photography. And I don't know, does printing like make you balanced and even tempered and nice? I don't know, maybe it could be like a Zen thing, right? You know, the art of printing and, you know, making something and creating an object that you can hold in your hands that's beautiful and that you can share with others, that brings enlightenment to this planet. Maybe that makes people nice. I don't know. But whatever it is that's happening, that's going on with Red River Paper, they are great people to work with, amazing supporters of this show. And I'll tell you, the paper they make, it is top drawer. Not to mention all the other stuff that you can get on their site. Not to mention the tutorials and the supplies and all the other goodies. The paper is good. If you like buying from a good company with good people who really care about you, and believe me, that's kind of a minority these days. Red River Paper is that kind of company. Good people that care about you, that make good products. I, for one, love supporting companies like that. I'm glad they're supporting our endeavor. It's just a good thing. And I'm glad to hear that so many of you are getting your paper from Red River Paper. I hear this all the time through email, when I go speak, all that. Thank you. It's just a lot of goodness being shared here. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. So have you updated your stuff? It is fun, and I tell you, I'm just so happy to have all my old devices feel like new devices without costing me anything. Maybe that's why I'm all frisky this week. Anyway, I'll be back next week with more stories, working on some great stuff. We've got a lot of things happening in the fall, some of which I can't talk about, some of which I will. Stay tuned and find out about it all. Till next week. Bye-bye now.